Kind Father, we love you. We bless you. We thank you for this another day, another opportunity to come before your presence, to hear from you, to hear a mighty word from you, God. Let the words I speak be penetrating to the hearts of the people that hear. Let the words that comes out of my mouth enlighten somebody, encourage somebody, strengthen somebody. Let somebody know that you love them. You got everything all under control. There's no need to worry. There's no need to fear, because you had this all under control. God, you get all the glory, all of the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Good morning, City Reach Burlington. I love you. Thank you for joining with us so much. Listen. We are starting a new series called Anxious for Nothing. Anxious for Nothing. And I'm really excited to talk about this, because it's actually key, and it's actually prevalent. It's actually something that's pertinent to this time that we're in right now. How many of you are like have everything under control? How many of your life is all, raise your hand, because I can see you. Raise your hand if your life is under control. You have no worries, no fears, no threats or nothing, right? Okay, I didn't see anybody raising their hand. And I believe that, because I know you're like me. We are here, we are living in perilous times. We are living in times that we have never seen before. Never before has there ever been such upheaval, such turmoil, such sickness, such angst, and such anxiety, and just in America. And so it's like it behooves us, like, wow, we are, it seems natural almost to worry. It seems natural almost to be anxious. It seems natural almost to be fearful of what's going on, what's going to happen today or tomorrow. It is towards the end of July. It is the beginning of August. Can you believe that? What happened to 2020? It's gone. And how many believe that 2020 worked out exactly the way you planned it back in January? Let me see you raise your hand again. I'm looking. No, I didn't see anybody. No, I didn't see anybody's hands raised. Nobody saw this coming. So because of that, it's like this whole new thing is happening. You got this pandemic, and we are all quarantined some sort of way. Because of this coronavirus and doing things differently, we can't go to work the way we used to. We can't congregate in churches the way we used to. I can't send our children to school the way that we used to. Our loved ones, we can't visit our loved ones. We can't visit our friends and families and relatives. We can't go to the family cookouts. Summertime, you know, the family cookouts. We can't even have the family cookouts and gatherings anymore right now this year because of this whole new situation that we're in. People are dying left and right. It's like nothing we've ever seen before. And so I could imagine the anxiety that you're going through, because I'm going through the same thing. My children need to go to school. I need to go to work, and we need to make sure we maintain this house, the roof. The church needs to function. We need to be out there into the community, to reach the community, and to be a witness and show a light. But we can't reach out because we are fearful of what might happen, of the attacks of this coronavirus. Might get sick or die even. So I could imagine that you don't know what the next thing's going to happen. So you can't go to work the way you used to. You can't congregate with your family the way you used to. You can't send your children to school the way they used to. You can't see all your friends, and you can't vacation the way you used to. Like if I can't take anything else. And then next thing happens, your car breaks down, or your light comes on, engine light comes on in your car, or you look in the mail, you got a bill, or you haven't been able to work, so you haven't been able to pay rent. And so the landlord is knocking at your door, and it's like I can't take anything else. So you're like anxious. It's like, Lord God, I just can't. You seem to like drive yourself crazy, being anxious, being anxiety just overtaking you, and like you just can't take it anymore. But I came to tell you that God saw all of this coming. He had all of this planned in advance. He knew exactly where you would be. He knew exactly the time that you're going to be in. He knew exactly that you're going to be here where you are in this time in August 2020, like caught and stuck in a house. But nothing caught him by surprise. He had this all in his plan. And he promised you, and he said in his word, Paul wrote this to the church in Philippians 4:4-7, it says, Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Here's the thing. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then you can breathe. Because in the seventh verse it says, and the peace of God, which transcends or passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that's enough of a praise break right there for me. Just to know that God has it all under control. Even when you're going through things that might make you anxious, even when you're going through times that might seem difficult or in despair or death is all around you or unhurt or unknowing is all around you, God told you to rejoice. And that might seem like the wrong thing to do at the wrong time. It doesn't make sense to rejoice when I'm suffering. It doesn't make sense to rejoice when I'm going through. It doesn't make sense to rejoice when I'm about to lose my loved one, or it doesn't make sense when I've lost my job or my family member has gone, or it doesn't make sense when I'm about to get evicted from my home. But God said to rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again. And he said it again. Let me repeat it. Put it on repeat. And I'll say it again. Rejoice. So the thing is like, what that tells me is that when you're rejoicing in God always, it's not because of what you know, what you see, what's going on, or what the circumstances that might be going around it, it doesn't affect you, but you have faith. Your faith is stronger than your fears. So when your faith is stronger than your fears, you can rejoice in the Lord at all times, in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. Let me tell you about, we talked about this guy several weeks ago. One of the prophets, one of the major prophets, his name was Elijah. And we know about Elijah and all the feats and things that he did and all the miracles that God allowed him to do. And even he was such a great and powerful prophet of God. And he defeated the false prophets of Baal and the false prophets that the king and the queen were trying to come against them. And it's like, look, and even Elijah got anxious. Even Elijah, out of all of the things he did, he got anxious. He got fearful. And after he defeated, we talked about this a few weeks ago, after he defeated all of the false prophets and had them killed, the king's wife, old Jezebel, put out an edict, put out a word, and put out a threat to actually, I want to kill him. And you would think that Elijah's like, well, if God answers my prayers, he's going to protect me. But no, Elijah's human, just like me, just like you. What did he do? He ran away and got fearful, and he ran for his life. 1 Kings 19:3-4 says, and Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. And when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. So even Elijah, one of the greatest prophets that ever lived, suffered from anxiety. Even he went through tough times, and he seems to have doubted his calling, or doubted even God, or doubted what God has provided for him. So, and it's not just him, but it's in me and you as well. So it's, you know, God doesn't find fault in us fearful, or find fault in us being afraid or being anxious. He just told us to command us out of that, to rejoice in spite of our anxiety. He calls us to rejoice in spite of our suffering. He tells us to rejoice in spite of what we're going through. Just like he told Elijah. If you look into that story further, God looked and talked to him. So look, Elijah, I wanted to witness. I want to show you who I am. And so he told Elijah to look out and to look into the storms and to the earth, and he wasn't in the earthquake, and he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, you know, he wasn't in earth, wind, and fire, but he was in the still small voice. So sometimes, no matter how loud your enemy is screaming in your ear, you need to listen for that still small voice of the Lord that's speaking to you. He said it once, he'll say it again, rejoice in me. And I'll say it again, rejoice. And this is, so I gave you some, here's some tools and some tips to find out when we've had enough, either I've had enough. Here's some tips or some steps that we can use when we've had enough, certain characteristics or certain key traits that we all might find ourselves in when we've had just about enough. We run ourselves into the ground. Number one, we run ourselves into the ground. Sometimes we get like Martha in the Bible. You get so busy being busy that you have no time to reflect, have no time to take in the blessings that God has given you. We get so busy with life. We get so busy running around, working, getting things from the store, grocery shopping, cooking, taking care of the kids. It's starting to, kids' activities are starting to catch up again. So you got soccer, lacrosse, and baseball, and all the other stuff, and running around here and there. You get so busy that you have no time to rest or to take in what God has already blessed you with. Always looking to get the next thing, looking to get the next thing. And you get so busy trying to get to the next thing, you never take inventory of what God has blessed you with. God has commanded us. Even in the back, if you go back to the beginning of the book, in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis, to, on a Sabbath day, to rest. God rested, and he commanded us to rest. Sometimes, a lot of the problems that we find ourselves in, we get over anxious and over busy, and we can't seem to get things together. Our mind is running around. We can never sleep, because even though the day is over, we still have things in our mind that we need to, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that, I didn't do this. So you get so upset because of what you didn't do. You never take inventory of what you did accomplish. So sometimes you take needs to take an attitude shift or an adjustment of your inventory and look at not what you have to do, but look at what God has done for you on that day. So the first thing, we run ourselves into the ground. And that's one of the enemy's tricks. He wants us to get us so busy that we forget about what God has blessed us with, and keep running and keep running. God didn't create us to run forever. He created us to rest. Amen? All right. The second thing, we shut people out. Sometimes we get so busy, we get so caught up in our own problems, we get so caught up in our own agenda, so caught up in our own things that we're going through, we shut people out of our lives. And the enemy loves to get us by ourselves, because when he gets us by ourselves, he can conquer us. You know, one could put 1,000 to flight and two could put 10,000 to flight. Looking at God's math again, God doesn't add or subtract. He multiplies and divides. Sometimes we need to find somebody that we can link up with. When we're feeling fearful, when we feel anxious, when we feel that we can't have enough, we can't take anymore. We're feeling that I just can't take it. I'm about to lose my mind. Call a friend. Reach out for a lifeline. Call somebody that will encourage you, that will strengthen you, that will tell you to go on so you can do this. I've got you. I hear you. I support you. No matter what you're going through, I've got your back. We will get through this together. We might be both be broke, but we can both be broke together, and we can figure this out, and we can make this thing together. Two are together, right? So when a person gets married, we talked about this before. We talked about this one in our marriage counseling. A three-cord strand is not easily broken. So you know, one person and the next person bind together, and you get the Holy Spirit in between of that. That's that three-cord strand that can never be broken. So don't be by yourself. Because when you find yourself caught up by yourself, that you're a key prey for the enemy to come and get you. So let's not shut people out. All right? But number three, we focus on the negative. You focus on the negative. Rather than thinking about what God has done for you, what God has blessed you with, we think about what we didn't do or what we don't have. This is my birthday, and I didn't get the car that I wanted, or I didn't get the ring, or I didn't get that, so I didn't get that. But you got to live. There's certain people that would love to celebrate another birthday, but they're not here. Or they might be here, but they may not even know it. They might be in a hospital, in a mental ward, or stuck up by themselves, or locked up somewhere, or even locked up in their own mind. We focus on everything, the negative, the bad things. It's funny because even when we get dressed in the morning, we look at ourselves in the mirror. A lot of the times, depending on your personality, you look at what's right when you look at the mirror. But some people look at it and see what's not right. Do I need to change this? Ooh, that was all that gray. Ooh, you balding. Ooh, you know, it's like me. I don't have, you know, the figure that I want. You know, I got a dad bod. It's all right. I call it a father figure. Round is a shape. So I wanted to be in better shape, but round is a shape. So rather than focusing on the negative, I'm just round as a shape too. My wife loves me. Amen. Hey, y'all heard her. So don't focus on the negative so much. Focus on the positive. Because check it out. What happens is sometimes you focus so much on the negative, it doesn't take just reside on your internal, but it actually resides on the external as well. And then what happens is you focus on negative yourself, you're going to focus on the negative of other people too. And you're a person that can't please anybody. Nobody can ever please you. And you're going to find yourself back in step two by yourself because you're always focused on what's wrong. Nobody wants to be somebody that's always pointing things out wrong. Nobody wants to be around somebody that's always pointing out the negative and always got something bad to say. Right? How many, you got those friends. How many have those friends where you're like, oh boy, here's what you call is calling me. Here comes Susu calling my phone, and you start to pray before you answer the phone because you know it's got nothing but bad news. You know, it's just like the Wiz, and you call the Queen. You got her at the Queen's house. She just said, don't nobody bring me no bad news. No bad news. No bad news. And like we all like that person. We don't want to be around somebody that's always got negative things to say about everything. There's never, I think, everything good happening. We want to be somebody that's always rejoiceful, always grateful, always feel that they are blessed. Because what happens is when you're thankful for the things that you do have, God makes room to bless you more, even more. We all have children. Some of us have children. And when you give somebody your child or somebody a gift or a blessing, you give somebody something, you want to hear those two words. Thank you. Not what is this? Or I didn't want that. Or what about that? How come she got more than me? How come he got more than me? I wanted the big piece. How come I got a drink out of the can? He gets a drink out of the cup. That was me growing up. Sorry. But when you're thankful and grateful, God makes room to bless you even more. So let's not squelch our blessings by being ungrateful and focusing on the negative all the time. Amen? All right. And the most important thing, though, number four, the most important thing that trait that we have when we figure we had enough, we forget about God. And that is a terrible place to be. That's what the enemy just really has got us. He got us running ourselves into the ground. So we're tired. We're all alone. We're not doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're doing too much and not taking time to rest that God has given us. We shut people out. We're by ourselves, and we're focusing too much on the negative. And so we're just, you know, pushing everybody out of the way. And then what happens is we find ourselves out of the will of God and out of the word of God and out of thinking about God. We don't even pray anymore. We don't even ask God for help anymore. We're just like, I just can't take it. You don't even go, God, help me anymore. You just like, I just can't take it. I just like, just take my life. And you feel like Elijah did. Just take my life. I'm useless. Why am I even here? I don't matter. My life means nothing. I did all this and for nothing. This woman's threatening me. This Jezebel is threatening me. She wants to take my life. But we forget about God, that he's the same God that brought you out of it, whatever thing you've been in. And he's actually the same God that saved you. He's the same God that healed you. He's the same God that delivered you. The same God that brought you to life and brought you to this point. And that the same God that worked those miracles in the past, he could do miracles in the future. So don't listen to the enemy that's crying out loud and just yelling in your voice, yelling in your ear. Listen for the still small voice of God as he whispers to you that I have it all under control. In times now, it's like we're texting God back and forth, and we're seeing texting God is, or texting is like, look, I'm just anxious. I'm suffering from anxiety. And you give a response back from God, I'm in control. And then you get another, you know, you text the God again, God, I feel depressed. I'm suffering from depression. God responds, I'm in control. Texting God again, he's like, God, I'm so fearful. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what to do with my kids. If I send my kids to school, they're going to get sick. If not, they're going to fall behind, or they're going to be antisocial. And I just can't. God says, I'm in control. And then you're worrying. You're like, God, I'm just worrying about this. I don't know what's going to happen with my job, with my loved one. I won't know what's going with my mother or my father. God responds, I'm in control. That's how God would respond now if he was texting us. Let's go back into 1 Kings and what he said to Elijah. In the 19th chapter, he says, then the Lord said, go out and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And that goes to show you that sometimes God is not in the ordinary. God is in the ordinary, not the remarkable. Sometimes we look for great big blessings, one big check. But sometimes God is in the ordinary, the small checks, the small thank you, the small things that God blesses you, the small daily blessings that sustain you over a lifetime rather than one big thing, one big bang. Sometimes God is in the ordinary, not just the remarkable. And here at City Beach, we're trying to reach the ordinary, the overlooked, the ones that have been looked over. And that's what God wants. He wants to look for, he's looking for you. He's calling you. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to offer. That's what God wants. He wants your humility. He wants you to know that he's here to bless you. He's here to lift you up out of your anxiety. He's here to lift you up out of your worry. He tells you, look, here's the key. When you rejoice in your problems and when you rejoice in your suffering, that confuses the mind of the enemy. That compounds the mind of the enemy, because he's like, I'm throwing all this at him. I'm throwing all these pressures and this disease and these threats and everything at him, but he's still rejoicing in God. And the enemy's like, I just don't know what to do with him. I just can't take it. And you're confounding the mind of the enemy when you're rejoicing in your suffering. Back in the day, we used to have praise service and testimonial service. And I remember a song we used to play, you know, Jesus Can Work It Out, Charles Hayes and the Cosmopolitans. It's like, you know, while you're trying to pay your rent, all your money spent, a little bit to buy some food, baby need a pair of shoes, Jesus can work it out. That's what we need to sometimes go back to. We need to sometimes go back to that time where we could just praise God in spite of all we're going through. We need to praise God in spite of our problems and praise God and rejoice in him, even in our anxiety, even when we're still suffering. Even when we get the little bills in the mail and it changes color depending on how close it is or how when they get ready to shut your utilities off. And when you get that red letter in the mail, you still praise God. I can hear it now. I could just hear, you know, Jesus can work it out. Jesus can work it out. Put your hands together. Rejoice in God. He can work it out. Come on, clap your hands. Nobody can see you. Rejoice in God. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's already worked it out. While he's trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. No need to worry. No need to fear. No need to be anxious. God can work it out. He's already worked it out for you. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Bless you, God. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. Yes, God can work it out. Yes, God. All right, all right, all right.
Yeah.
Woo. Okay, all right. I don't want to get too far, to get too close, to get too crowded, because it's a little hot in here, and you know, I don't want to let see my Dell dance steps in my shopping. All right, but God can work it out. Listen, 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 listen. Listen, God can work everything out. Whatever you're going through, God's already worked it out. He's already provided a plan, a way of escape, a way of getting out, a way of getting past your anxiety. All you need to do is trust him, believe in him, rejoice in him. Listen, if you don't have no Christ in a part of your heart or have him as your Lord and Savior, I came to tell you that he can save you. He can come. He's already came and died on the cross for your sins. And I'm going to tell you the salvation ABCs. All right. Listen, John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." All right. So here are the ABCs of salvation. Letter A, we need to accept, we need to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We need to acknowledge, admit. B, we need to believe. Believe that not only that Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You need to acknowledge, admit, believe, and see, you need to confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." So listen, I need you just to close your eyes and just think about all of your past, all of your anxiety, all of your worry, all of your fear, wondering where am I going to go from here. God has provided a place for you. God has provided a way of escape for you. He provided a means out of eternal destruction that we all do need to face because of sin. He provided a way of escape. You need to accept him into our hearts, acknowledge, admit, and to believe, or need to confess. And then you need to pray this prayer with me. Close your eyes and say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen." Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer with us, or if you're looking for a church home to connect with, or a family to communicate with, or to connect with, grow stronger together, because the devil wants to get us alone, but God, we want to be together. We're searching for the ordinary, the extraordinary, the ones that are overlooked and overlooked places, and the ones that have been cast aside and let go. We are looking for you. God is looking for you too. I need you to text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word "all in," A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. We love you. Thank you so much for joining with us. God bless you. Have a good day.